Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, today we have some interesting things. Now, in the past, I've always preached on the get thee behind me, Satan. But, you know, as I've told you, as I do study and read and learn, generally you hear what I'm learning and reading and studying because I'm sharing it. And I have been reading a book by David Limbaugh called The Emmaus Code. And in other words, you remember the story of Emmaus when Jesus is walking with the two men and they don't know who it is, okay? Well, the other thing that we have during that time period too that relates is when Paul meets the eunuch and reads to him out of Isaiah and then he wants to be baptized, okay? All of the Bible is full of these kind of stories. But the other thing is, the Old Testament is just as much a story of the gospel of Jesus Christ as the New Testament. Yeah, I'm starting to see the eyes squint a little bit. You know, explain that one to me. Well, that's what I'm going to do today. Well, what we are talking about with the first part in our Old Testament reading is the establishment of the Abrahamic covenant, the very first covenant we have. But the other thing, did you notice in the psalm? Eat and worship. All right, so if we feel that that first establishment of the Abrahamic covenant is baptism, then what is the eat and worship? Lord's Supper. So that when we eat, we worship through what we eat. How many of you had seen that in there before? It's not all raise your hands at one time. Pastor Tony's the only one. But all of this is possible by faith. Okay? Now, what does the name Abraham mean? Why did God change his name from Abram to Abraham? It means father of nations. Okay, if there's a lot of things in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, where we look at names. Now today, we don't understand what the names mean, because we don't speak Hebrew. But to a first century audience, or ones that were before that, if somebody was speaking in Hebrew and said Abraham, they would know right off you're talking about the father of nations. The same thing happens with numbers in the Bibles, but that's a subject for another day. Now, the next thing is in all this, God tells him that they're changing the name of his wife from Sarai to Sarah, and she's going to be the mother of nations. Now, how old is Sarah at this time? In her 80s. Can you imagine being pregnant when you're 80? You know, we're looking at miracles. But those gospel things that are in there, okay? Then we have that outer sign of circumcision. It's too bad Jean's not here today, because she had that one reading where that word was used, what, 20 times? And every time she has three, she says, leave the circumcision out of it this time. But part of the thing is, that was an outward sign of people coming into the covenant with God. And it's one of those things, when you make that commitment, it's a full commitment. It's not one that you can sort of renege on. Well, where do all these things sort of come from? Well, there's two stories I want to talk about. And they're in this section of Genesis. The first one is the Tower of Babel. All right, now the Tower of Babel wasn't in our reading today, but it affects our reading today. Why? Because instead of worshiping God, man worshiped the glory of man. And he decided that he was going to build this tower so that he could be on the same level with God. And so what does God do? Well, yeah, but how did he do that? Well, first of all, he changed everybody's common language to something different. Second thing is, he dispersed these people all over the earth. So in other words, he took care of that without really having to destroy the people. He had made the covenant that he was not going to bring a flood and destroy all his creation again, right? So I think that's really a pretty decent idea to take care of this. Well, we know that before you can have a resurrection, what do you have to have? A death. Well, in human culture, he took care of that, didn't he? By actually destroying the death of that culture without killing people. I really think it was a wonderful thing for God to do. Well, why does God do this? Well, I think that by accepting the nature and reality of our sin, we start to understand our fellow man, okay? Because we're all sinners, right? And because of that, we start to govern ourselves under the understanding of sin and that we need rules to lead us to do the right thing. You know, so as we look at this, there is gospel here because it's creating a future way of us to look at our lives. Well, if we don't see God's character in the nature of our sin, then how can we see his justice and his forgiveness of grace without understanding that? Because if we don't understand it, do you need it? No. So the thing is, we have to understand sin. We have to see sin before we can appreciate forgiveness. Right? And we learn that from our catechism. Okay, God tells us in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created us to be like him. And if you notice in my prayer today, what did I ask? To help us be holy as Jesus is holy, so that we can be like him. Since only man in God's creation is guilty of sinning, then only man can reap the benefits of God's redemption from our sin. Yeah, I see heads going up and down a little bit, but that's pretty heavy, isn't it? Okay. So, God promises to make Abraham's name great in our text. Not all people's names. Abraham's, the father of nations. Okay, God gives us that command to focus on him. Folks, we can't navigate our existence. We can't direct it apart from God. Because it's with God and through the sons and daughters of Abraham that all of the earth will be blessed. All right, so what is that? Well, we look at the situation. Abraham was blessed by God. And it is through him that we are blessed. Look at the story of Jesus on the cross. It is through him that we are blessed. Do you start to see the gospel in the Old Testament? All right, look at the story of Abraham and Isaac. Okay? God tells Isaac that he is to go and kill, or Abraham that he's to go and kill Isaac, sacrifice him. We've talked about that in here before, but did Abraham trust in God? Did he trust in God enough that he knew that even if he sacrificed Isaac, that God would return Isaac to life? I don't know if I would trust in him that much, but Abraham did. And so what happens? Well, in this case, here we are with that Christ-like figure of the sacrifice of Isaac. And so what happens? Remember my sermon last week about the vicarious atonement? Or did I do that Wednesday? Okay. The someone who stands in the place of. So who stood in the place of Isaac? The ram. So, vicariously, God provided somebody to save Isaac for our salvation. God provided himself to save us. Do you see the gospel in the Old Testament? How many of you had ever thought of it that way? Yeah, I see the head shaking. You know, that's the thing. Folks, why do we have the Old Testament? Why don't we just throw it out? I'm not going to tell you the answer to that just yet. I want you to sort of chew on that. That's true. When we see how God takes care of the nation of Israel, is it only for Israel? No, it's for you and you and you and you and me. We all get that inheritance. How many times have we heard that word inheritance from the Bible? Through God's treatment of the nation of Israel, that light to the Gentiles. When Luke in Acts 3:25 relates how Paul talked about this. It is through us being all the sons and daughters of Abraham, and through Abraham that all the families of the earth will be blessed. That wasn't me that was saying that. That was Paul. Okay? So when we look at that kind of behavior, it is through him that we are blessed. It is through the covenant with God that we become God's people. Galatians, Paul goes on to say that this is the gospel preached to Abraham before Jesus, saying that God would justify the Gentiles, not the Jews, the Gentiles, by faith. And through Abraham, all nations would be blessed. So when we start looking at the Old Testament with the New Testament, we start to get the bigger picture, don't we? Folks, as we look at what we experience today, not just the gospel of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, in the Gospels, but we are looking at the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, in the entire Bible. If you want to understand the New Testament, you learn it through the mirror and the window of the Old Testament. And boy, isn't that a wonderful gift to us, the entire Bible. Let us pray. Our Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who speaks so clearly to us through the Old Testament of Jesus Christ, help us to know you, Lord, through your word before the incarnation of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.